May the Lord Jesus give you his peace. We are celebrating a votive mass of St. Joseph this Wednesday. And just a quick note, an interesting insight by St. Augustine on St. Joseph. He's looking at the verse in the Annunciation when he's reading Our Lady's words, "I do not know man," and how that indicates, in fact, a prior vow of virginity. And the take on, he has an interesting take on St. Joseph, that St. Joseph is called just precisely in that he is willing to defend this vow of religion. Religion is the highest form of justice, and it's a very good insight because it also gets at the aspect of St. Joseph and his purity of heart as well. But what I'd like to focus on this morning is on the gospel reading and this question posed as Jesus is going through towns and villages. They ask him, "Lord, will only a few people be saved?" It's a very relevant question for our time because of the great philosophical era of relativism and also the flattening out of the need, at least the apparent need, to preach or to witness to truth because of the subjective value that's placed on truth. There's a wonderful book by Ralph Martin a little while ago we looked at it as a community called Will Many Be Saved? And Ralph Martin came up through the charismatic movement and truly was on fire with spreading the gospel, and he's looking around and he's like, how come nobody else is doing this? He's growing up in an age whereby many people had fallen into the error that it was not necessary, that basically the principle of faith comes by hearing was denied. And so he's looking around, what's going on? Anyhow, he's got a take on Lumen Gentium, because Lumen Gentium is the document from Vatican II that will get at the nature of the church and what the church is. And in Lumen Gentium 16, it gets at this very question. And I'd like to read just the third part of it. It goes through the different relations that people that are not incorporated into the church have with the church. And he has these in segments called A, B, and C. And the last part of Lumen Gentium 16 says this. Oh, let's go to B first, right in the middle of the paragraph. It reads, "Those also can attain to salvation who, through no fault of their own, do not know the gospel of Christ or his church, yet sincerely seek God and, moved by grace, strive by their deeds to do his will as it is known to them through the dictates of conscience. Nor does divine providence deny the helps necessary for salvation to those who, without blame on their part, have not yet arrived at an explicit knowledge of God and, with his grace, strive to live a good life." Incidentally, this sentiment, this teaching, is not Vatican II. This comes, you know, it's prior. Pius IX, in a document, says basically the same stuff. And so this is not like, you know, the church is inventing something here. It continues, "Whatever good or truth is found amongst them is looked upon by the church as a preparation for the gospel." She knows, it's the soil, right? "She knows that it is given by him who enlightens all men so that they may finally have life." Now this is the next section is what Ralph Martin focuses on. He calls it Lumen Gentium 16c, the last part of that paragraph, because this is where people go off or ignore, he says, and this is what's neglected. So you have this teaching just on how it's possible. A big qualifier is it's possible, but not probable, okay, in terms of being incorporated in the church or not. Here's the qualifier. "But often men, deceived by the evil one, have become vain in their reasonings and have exchanged the truth of God for a lie, serving the creature rather than the Creator. Or some there are who, living and dying in this world without God, are exposed to final despair. Wherefore, to promote the glory of God and procure the salvation of all of these, and mindful of the command of the Lord, preach the gospel to every creature. The gospel, the church fosters the missions with care and attention. So that statement, that qualifier, "but often," is a Latin phrase called ad sapius. And it's both an adversative in terms of, but on the other hand, here's a counterpoint to what we just said, and sapius is a comparative, which can be translated as more often. And Ralph Martin makes the point in his books, it is the mainline tradition in the church, small t, that many are lost, and many are lost, and consequently the great urgency that we preach the gospel, that we tell people about the gospel. So this is the month of the Rosary, and a couple of days left, And this is also one of the great unifying aspects of Our Lady as Spouse of the Holy Spirit, of bringing all into communion with their Son. And a few days left, we can make a commitment. Give somebody a rosary. Take one out from the vestibule. Give somebody a rosary. A little brochure on how to pray it. Give somebody a rosary. Because when we give somebody a rosary, we put into their hands how to pray. We put into their minds how to be docile to the teachings with an obedience of faith, the same obedience of faith that Mother Mary shares with her children to the teachings of the Church, which are truth. We put into their hands the very remedy against subjectivism. And so this is our charge. We also, of course, the miraculous medal too. But in this month of the Rosary, let's make a commitment to do just that, to give people the gift of prayer by giving a rosary.